Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text Number 38. Translation. With deliberation, one will see that the Supreme Soul, although manifested in different ways, is actually the basic principle of everything. The total material energy is the cause of the material manifestation, but the material energy is caused by him. Therefore, he is the cause of all causes, the manifester of intelligence and the senses. He is perceived as the super soul of everything. Without him, everything would be dead. You as the super soul, supreme controller, are the only one remaining. Purport. The words sarva vastuni vastu swarupa indicate that the Supreme Lord is the active principle of everything. As described in the Brahma Samhita 5.35, ekopyaso rachayitum jagaranda kotim yatschaktir asti jagaranda chaya irantak andandarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who entered the existence of every universe and every atom by one of his plenary portions, and thus manifests his infinite energy throughout the material creation. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, Antaryami, the Lord is all-pervading throughout the unlimited universes. He is the Priyak, or the Antaryami, of all living entities. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetra Gyam Japimam Vidi Sarva Kshetra Shubharata. O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower of all bodies, because the Lord is the super soul. He is the active principle of every living entity, and even the atom. Andandarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. He is the actual reality. According to the various stages of intelligence, one realizes the presence of the Supreme in everything through the manifestations of his energy. The entire world is permeated by the three gunas, and one can understand his presence according to one's modes of material nature. According to the Bhagavad Gita, there are only two aspects of knowledge. One is knowledge of the soul, and the other is knowledge of the super soul. Now, here it mentions that the super soul is controlling everything. So that means if we don't see the super soul, it means we don't accept the fact that he's controlling everything. And therefore, the material nature has kindly given us the illusion that in the absence of the super soul, we're controlling things. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Adishtanam tata karata, karnam cha pritag vidan, vividas cha pritag chesta, daivam chaivatma panchama. There are actually five causes of the accomplishment of any kind of work. Now, we have a sense of existing, and therefore, it would be rather unfair if we didn't have any part in what we're doing. If we were just a puppet for the super soul, and the super soul is just manipulating us just like a puppet, and therefore some people are rewarded greatly and other puppets are punished. We may happen to be the puppet that's being punished. So we're thinking it's quite unfair. Why is the super soul punishing me and awarding someone else? Just because he doesn't like my face? Therefore, that's the criteria. So, there are actually five causes in the accomplishment of work. And one of them happens to be the super soul, and one of them happens to be us, the karta, or the doer. So, is Krishna schizophrenic? One time he says, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. And then at the end he says, well, you're the doer. Most of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Bewildered by the three modes of nature, the living entity believes he's the doer, he's the karta. But the activities are actually carried out by the three modes. At the end, Krishna switches it all around and then blames the living entity for what's going on. Then he claims he's the karta, he's the doer. I'm innocent, I'm just a super soul. I'm transcendent to all this. He's that little soul, he's doing the whole thing. Blame him. Well, obviously the two conscious living entities, namely the soul and the super soul, have their part to play in activity. What that part is why Krishna is explaining the Bhagavad Gita. What is the responsibility of the soul? Now, it appears that something very dramatic is going on in the material existence. Otherwise, why are they writing so many newspapers and books and poets are singing about all the dramatic things that are going on? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was putting out, Prakash something, Nadia Prakash, the daily newspaper. And one reporter came and was inquiring, how is it possible that you can put out a daily newspaper about spiritual life? For most people, spiritual life is quite ambiguous. If they can write, you know, something once a year or once a week, they're considered to be quite prolific, because there's not much to talk about. Do good to others or something. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was putting out a newspaper every day. So the reporter was asking, how is this possible to put out something daily about spiritual life? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada explained that actually this planet is just one little speck, like a speck of dust in a room. And there are unlimited other specks in the same room of dust. And the whole universe is just one mustard seed in the material existence compared to a whole bag of mustard seeds. Mustard seed is quite small. You have a whole bag of them. And this material universe is only one quarter as an estimation compared to the three quarters of the spiritual world and all the activities going on. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, actually we could put out a newspaper every moment about what's going on in the spiritual world. Unfortunately, we don't have any customers. So there's so much going on, but we're not quite aware of what's going on. And therefore, people, the essential things which are going on, namely the activities of the soul and the super soul, people are unaware of. The only thing they're aware about, adishtanam. Adishtanam means the place of activity. If you pick up a newspaper in Slovenia, all they'll do is describe about Slovenia, about all the trees that are here, about what the latest protest is, which government has exploited what, how much money, etc. All about Slovenia. But without any knowledge of what actually Slovenia is. As if you go 1 centimeter into Croatia, it's no longer Slovenia anymore. Somehow or another, it's a different universe. But due to mental concoction, people are imagining that they're now in Slovenia, now they're in Croatia, now they're in Italy, whatever. So this is all mental conception, adishtana, dividing the world up according to our mental conceptions of things. And karnam, the senses. We're perceiving through these senses, and what we perceive, we actually believe is real. No, it's not that there's no reality to what we're perceiving, we're just seeing it wrong, that's all. As it explains here, sattva nirupa sarvasha shraddha bhavati bharata Sharoma Yoyam Purusho Yoyatscharas Evasaha. According to one's existence under the three modes, one evolves a particular kind of faith. So we're actually believing that we actually know what reality is, and that is the sum total of existence, what we're experiencing. We have no idea what actually real reality is, what the experience of reality is, but we're either happy or sad or a combination of both in our present existence, thinking that the whole thing is there, like the frog in the well. We're Professor Frogs. And we're believing that in our little well of experience, that is reality. But it's not reality. It's the mode of material nature or the modes that we've acquired, and that's what we're able to experience. And because we have this conception and we have this experience, therefore we determine to either avoid a more unpleasant experience or we're trying to obtain some kind of more comfortable experience. And therefore we're making our plans. It's compared to on the Titanic. The Titanic is sinking and people are busy making better arrangements for the deck chairs on the sinking Titanic. So we're in a boat that's sinking and we're busily trying to make arrangements. So when we have a pleasant, when we drown pleasantly. But this is a misconception because we don't, this is not the end. There is no end for the soul. But under the modes of material nature, we're actually believing we have to make plans to have a happy future. That we do have to make plans to have a happy future, but happy future will not be in material consciousness. Simply trying to change from one mode to another. And of course in Kali Yuga, people are generally changing from the low mode to a lower one. Unaware that they could actually get free and be happy forever. Be joyful forever. That the ultimate reality, there's every cause to be joyful, and in our little well, we have find every cause to be morose. So that's the difference between spiritual and material life. In spiritual life, there is no cause of moroseness, and in material life, there's only causes of being depressed. Everything is bad, and it's going to get worse. But it's going to get worse because people are acting badly, not because it's by nature bad. It's because people act badly, therefore they get the result. If they had the right conception and they act properly, then things will get better. So it's up to us whether we're going to make our lives more auspicious or more inauspicious. And karanam, the senses. So we have a choice how to use our senses. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vichamsi Vaikunta Gunan Varadine Harera Bhakta Mandira Mardi Chu Harir Achakchuta Tak Todaye. That Maharaj Ambarish, first of all, he put his mind upon Krishna. So that's why we're here. Somehow or another, put our minds upon Krishna. Try to see Krishna a little bit more clearly. Try to see our present circumstances so that we're not obsessed with who this material, with this material existence that we're presently in. That this is it. I have this. My future can be so much. My material education is such. My material assets are such, my prospects for a job and family are such, and that defines me. But these things have nothing to do with us. They have everything to do with our material existence, but we're not part of material existence. We're supposed to be part of spiritual existence. So we're supposed to enter into the kingdom of Krishna through the process of pure devotional service. And where is that kingdom? It's right in front of us. Everything is spiritual. Everyone is spiritual. We're also spiritual. But we're blind. Andaya tandirupi kiyamanas te pisha tantra urudami vara. We're not seeing the spiritual energy right in front of us. We're seeing it as something different. And therefore, we're getting involved and the things that cover us even more. And when we see it as spiritual and utilize it for a spiritual cause, a spiritual meaning, then the whole material spiritual world, this whole material world becomes a spiritual world. Vidhi mahendri dishte, vidhi mahendri dishte kayate, vishvam sukha sukhayate, that the whole material universe becomes full of happiness. But one has to have faith that we're, first of all, that we don't see reality because we don't even see ourselves. We don't realize we're eternal. And therefore, because we have some material concept, therefore we're always morose, because there's every reason to be morose having a material body. Any intelligent person knows what is the future of the material body. Someone looks at their palm, yes, I see it right there. That's when you die and the worms start eating your body. Let's see, I see this big maggot, it's right into, it's eating your eye. And someone's saying, well, can you say me something more optimistic? No, anyone who's optimistic about material existence must be either a crazy or a complete idiot. On the other hand, unless one finds out about spiritual existence, then one becomes simply an existentialist. Existentialist. One simply becomes depressed and morose. Oh, everything's bad, it's going to get worse. But if one finds out about spiritual existence, then every time, every moment is an opportunity to become a little bit more aware of Krishna. Not only in the spiritual world, but even right before us, that we're always dealing with Krishna. It's just a question of how we're dealing with him. Therefore, devotional service is not just about hearing about Krishna and chanting about it. It's how to relate to every living entity in the universe. So we relate to them in a spiritual way. That's a higher standard. Our relationships with others. And those relationships with others are generally a material conception of life, how to get things from others. Or how to avoid people taking things away from us. It may be on a very gross platform to try to steal people's properties or mesmerize them or enchant them or whatever else, hypnotize them so they give us what we want them to, how to win friends and influence people. Or subtly, you should love me, my body, you should love my ideas, you should love my imaginations. Somehow or another, these things are me, and you should love me by loving these things. So, in the material concept of life, one is very superficially dealing with others, simply in terms of one's own selfish desires, either trying to avoid unpleasant circumstances or trying to obtain more pleasant circumstances through the endeavors of interrelationships with others. But that's, Prahlad Maharaj said, this means we're all vanics, we're just business people. He didn't want to be a business person with Lord Nrisimhadev, he wanted to love Lord Nrisimhadev. And therefore he was working to deliver others, to bring them to the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev. He didn't say, I'm happy, I'm in the ocean of bliss, who cares about everyone else? Those people, they deserve to go to hell. They're all demons. My father, yeah, he's the biggest demon. Take care of him first. I can't begin to tell you what he did to me. No, really, that's right. And then he did that too. All right, I'll take care of him. I'll get even for you. No, Prahlad Maharaj, he loved everyone. He wanted everyone to become liberated, including his father, who had seemingly tortured him. But actually the torture for a pure devotee was simply an inspiration to go even deeper in Krishna consciousness. So his father probably inspired him more in Krishna consciousness than anyone else did. Although not in the most direct and pleasant way. So similarly, one has to learn how to see things in relationship to Krishna and then try to serve Krishna and serve Krishna's devotees, because Krishna wants to serve his devotees, and therefore we can also become an instrument to serve Krishna's devotees. At the same time, everyone has the potential to become a devotee, or at least innocent people. So unless we're acting as an instrument to serve the innocent, then our Krishna consciousness will always be incomplete. Of course, whether we serve the devotees, or we serve the innocent, or even we avoid the atheists and serve them in that way, still, without developing the proper perspective on things, without becoming convinced that there's nothing material for me to gain here, and that therefore not becoming disturbed under any circumstance, or look at our circumstances, what is the opportunity I have to gain something here? Dhanam, janam, sundarim, or liberation. Mama janmani, janmani ishvare. If we have that vision to see what is there my gain, then we can't see Krishna. The material nature will cover us. Therefore, before we can even begin to try to see things properly, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that here I am, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm still morose. The only thing I get from chanting Hare Krishna is that I want to finish my rounds and get it all over with, so I can do something more valuable. I get as much taste from chanting Hare Krishna as eating wood. This is a taste, but it's not very pleasant. So why is that? Trinada pi sunichena tariva sihishnana amarina maridena kirtini aksidari. So one has to become humble. Humble means that we have to see that we're not the ultimate controller of everything. We have the ability to desire, but ultimately we're not the greatest in this universe, that the greatest in the universe is controlling everything. So we have to become humble, not by becoming lacking self-esteem, but realizing how great Krishna is. And trinada pi sunichena tara iva sihishnana. And therefore not reacting instantaneously to everything that bothers us. Sometimes we're not even aware. We look around, and immediately everything we see brings forth memories. And those memories bring forth emotions. And those emotions go so quickly, we're not even aware how we're going through phases of lust or anger or greed or bewilderment. We're so used to going through, looking around, and going through all kinds of different states of material consciousness, we think is completely normal. That is existence. But one has to learn tolerance. Tolerating our minds, trying to infuse a little bit of Krishna consciousness, intelligence in Krishna consciousness, into our experience, into our vision, and then we can stop simply, you know, liking people or disliking them or making plans, even without realizing it, simply on the basis of my mental experiences. And after learning tolerance, then we can begin to appreciate things in relationship to Krishna. And realize that if I'm able to do anything in Krishna consciousness, it's not because I'm such a unique soul, such an important soul. It's because I've somehow or another, by good fortune, I've come in contact with an exalted soul, and by his mercy, I at least got enough intelligence to try to follow his directions. And therefore, under his directions, I have some protection from the illusory energy, and I'm revising my original consciousness again. So that's all positive in one sense, and then one has to start looking around and seeing, what am I actually trying to do here? What am I trying to accomplish? Do I really need so many followers? Do I really need beautiful women? Do I need wealth? Do I really need to get out of this place? It just so happens these are the phases of the Kanishta Adhikari. Dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavita jagat isha kamaye mama janmin ishvare. That the neophyte wants comfort, he wants security, he wants knowledge, he wants followers, he wants liberation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't want to be a neophyte, he wants to become a devotee. And what is a devotee? Ainandana tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavambudo. That simply he wants shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. He wants to see as Krishna wants him to see. He wants to act as Krishna wants him to act. He wants to desire as Krishna wants him to desire. Then one is actually beginning real devotional service. So even if we can't do it 24 hours a day, at least for 1 minute of the day we should set aside to become a devotee. Try to be a devotee for 1 minute a day. If you don't like it, don't worry. You can, the other 24 hours, the other 23 hours and 59 minutes, you could be a perfect demon. And imagine yourself to be a great devotee as you're trying to fool yourself and everyone else. But at least 1 minute we should try to be a devotee. See what that's like. Maybe it's a different experience. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
You mentioned that we can see Krishna as we look at things around us. And there are some things that are spiritualized. And I, since long, I've had a question about how spiritualized things change their nature. For example, if we use a book for printing, I mean, if it's a Bhagavad Gita, for example, we use paper and ink to print a Bhagavad Gita. So it's spiritualized. Its effects are spiritual and it's sacred. It's a holy book. However, it will burn and it will decay. It can be eaten by moths and everything, and it will have all the usual characteristics of a material book in its physical properties. So, of course, some miracles happen sometimes, but still, what does it mean that it is spiritualized if its nature doesn't, if its properties in the physical world do not actually change? Why wouldn't they change? Why wouldn't this Bhagavad Gita be unburnable, indestructible, undecaying if it's completely connected with Krishna, for example? What is the answer?
Well, Brahmarpanam Brahmahayavira, Brahmagno Brahmahutam, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Person is said to be fully engaged in devotional service of Krishna consciousness. Well, Gata Sangasya Muktasya, Gata Sangasya Muktasya, that a work of a man who's unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. For him, Brahman is the offering, Brahman is the sacrifice, Brahman is the transcendental paraphernalia. In other words, everything is spiritual. It's not that the book is spiritual. But when we utilize it in Krishna's service, then it helps to remind us of Krishna. And then we become spiritual. Our consciousness becomes clear. Otherwise, everything is spiritual. Now, as far as the properties, we have to see what is it in the beginning. It's Krishna's energies. It's his energies manifested in such a way that we think this is solid energy, this is gaseous energy, this is transformable energy. This is energies acting in such a way as to fulfill his purpose. So when we have a book, it's there to fulfill a purpose, and people get to read it. As long as that purpose is being fulfilled, then afterwards, when no one's qualified to read it, it'll just deteriorate and go back into the energies that it came from. Just like all the energies are constantly transforming, whether it be a book or everything else in this world. But it's all spiritual, because there's nothing but spiritual. Now the question is how we're perceiving it, that's all. Now there are three modes, and there are things when they utilize in the three modes, then they have a different quality. Like, for instance, in the mode of ignorance, things deteriorate quicker. And in the mode of passion, they deteriorate a little less. In the mode of goodness, they deteriorate a little lesser. And in transcendence, they exist on a different platform. The essence exists on the spiritual platform. So when the book is burned, to us it may look like it disappeared. But for someone who's on the transcendental platform and remembers the book is still there. But that's because it's actually existing also simultaneously on a subtler on the spiritual platform. But that may not be perceivable to us, what that spiritual platform is, if we're in the material platform. Just like the deity is also eternal. But it may appear that the deity disappears, but it disappears to those who are material, but not for those who are actually on the spiritual platform and associating with the deity, the actual form of the deity, on the spiritual platform. Is that clear? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for the impressive lecture for me, at least. I wanted to ask, you spoke about this perception, which is spiritual, basically, in essence, but we just don't see it. I wanted to ask, because you didn't spoke directly about it, in order to perceive spiritually, we should probably do some devotional service, and to do it properly, we should follow advices or instructions of some authorities to get this spiritual perception and to advance and to go back home, back to Godhead, ultimately. But my spiritual master is not always here, and sometimes we have problems with choosing who is the right person to give us or qualified or legitimate to give us instructions about some concrete details. So if I am not a brahmacharya in the temple, and if I am not grihasa outside, so who am I, and who am I, who should I listen to? If the situation is like this, because of me or because of objective reasons or whatever, what should I do to go back home, back to Godhead? Who should I listen to, and what kind of devotional service should I perform if my Maharaj doesn't have some particular wish for me? He wants, for example, to chant and do, and what is your advice for in that situation, for example?
Well, that's quite a question. But generally speaking, we're not under the, although we have our, we may have an initiating guru, but the initiating guru is actually supposed to be part of a movement, which is meant to, in other words, the initiating guru is not the ultimate authority within ISKCON. The managers actually have more of authority to direct our lives than even our initiating guru, who can explain to us and show us by example how to work cooperatively in the movement to either worship the deities or to spread Krishna consciousness. Now, the one problem is that generally in our ISKCON movement, because devotees are some, in my opinion, because they're so much absorbed in trying to figure out what their initiating spiritual master wants, and the initiating spiritual master wouldn't have any idea what he wanted, because how could he? He's not the super soul. So, and on the other side, there's no concrete plan that everyone knows where they fit into to spread, to either participating in Krishna consciousness and developing it or spreading it. So it makes it impossible to figure it out. Now, if there was a clear plan for everyone where they fit in to spread Krishna consciousness, then they'd develop faith in their authorities, because they see that the plan, when they see that something works, then they develop faith in it. But there's nothing going on, or nothing really clear, then there's nothing to develop faith in. There's not clear vision, then we don't know if it's working or not. Of course, we have our activities in ISKCON. We have book distribution, we have Harinam, we have devotee care, we have so many things, but they're not working in harmony and in sync with each other. Therefore, it's not really clear, you know, what the whole purpose is, what we're trying to accomplish. Distribute a lot of books or make sure the devotees are comfortable or get another building. But it's not all it's not all very clear and harmonious how we're all working together and where I fit in. So unless we do that, then everyone's going to be more or less uneasy about what they're supposed to do. Because the authorities, how will they know? Because they're not even clear what they're supposed to be doing. So that has to be accomplished. Otherwise, you know, even if one spiritual initiating guru is present right with us, how does he know what's going on in the temple if no one else knows what's going on in the temple or what we're supposed to be doing? Of course, we can always give the general thing. Everyone should come to Mangalarti. Everyone should chant 16 rounds. Everyone should follow four of the principles. But if that's all there was to the Hare Krishna movement, then Prabhupada wouldn't have had to write so many books. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't have had to come and spread the Krishna consciousness movement if that's all there was. So there are deeper things. But that, Prabhupada said, it takes organization and intelligence so that people, when they reach a certain level of devotional service, and if they want to do more, they understand what more they can do and what they're going to get, what they're going to accomplish by doing it. What's the vision? What's going to actually not only be accomplished, but where I'm going to wind up eventually? How am I actually going to go from one stage of devotional service so that eventually I develop the character and the qualities of pure devotee? I'm actually qualified to be with Krishna 24 hours a day. So there should be a process that's clear to everyone that if we follow it, then we'll actually get there. And part of that process, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and showed us, is bringing people into Krishna consciousness, training them up to follow the principles, training them up to become serious, training them up to engage in loving exchanges with the devotees, training them up so they become part of the, feel that they belong to the Hare Krishna movement, they have loving relationships with the devotees, train them up so they dedicate their energies to making more people into devotees, and train them up so they can go and explain the science of Krishna consciousness to innocent people and attract them to become part of the Krishna conscious family. So unless the whole picture, the whole package is there, then people come in one door in the Hare Krishna movement, and then they stay around for some time. They don't see anything else to do, so they walk out, they go out the back door. Or Srila Prabhupada once told Bhagavan Prabhu that an elephant eats this much and then passes this much stool. So there's no real gain. So after so many years, if you have the same amount of devotees or less, or even more initiated devotees, and most of them aren't doing anything to spread Krishna consciousness or even participating, then something should be adjusted. Something should be added so that there's actually progress. Now we have a whole collection of initiated devotees and none of them are doing anything of any real substance in Krishna consciousness. Because even if they wanted to, no one could figure out what they could do. Or even if they knew what to do, there's no reason for them to do it. In any case, Prabhupada has given us a complete picture. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a complete picture. Lord Krishna has given us a complete picture. We just have to find out what the picture is. And then try and fit into the picture. Anything else? It was probably full of controversial statements, but anyhow. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.